On this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports the Podcast, I'll share my thoughts about the loss of two longtime Section 2 coaches, Colony's Mike Ambrosio and Duanesburg's Frank DeMasi. I'll also talk about the results from the first day of the North-South Classic Boys Basketball Showcase, which featured a showdown between Class B Powers, Wavrelet, and McKeel Christian Academy. On the ice, Christian Brothers Academy posted its biggest win of the season to date, and on the wrestling mat, Wavrelet claimed the Colonial Council title with a victory Thursday night. All this and more on this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. I'm Rob Jonas, editor of CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Unfortunately, I have to lead off this week's episode by noting the deaths of two longtime Section 2 coaches, Colony's Mike Ambrosio and Duanesburg's Frank DeMasi. Both men died from heart attacks they suffered while clearing snow from last weekend's winter storm, an eerie coincidence to be certain. Ambrosio coached several sports at Colony High School, most notably the varsity football team, which he guided from 1997 to 2007 and again from 2009 to 2011. Under his guidance, the Garnet Raiders made three trips to the Section 2 Super Bowl, 1998, 2002, and 2006. Though they never won the Section 2 title under Ambrosio, Colony was one of the top teams in the region during his coaching career. One of the things about Ambrosio that stands out in my mind is how friendly he was. As a reporter covering Colony football from 2000 until today and beyond, I can tell you he was always willing to talk to me no matter what happened on the field. If I needed a quote from him, he always gave me the time to interview him. Away from the football field, he'd always greet me at games where he was chaperoning, and we'd talk for a little bit. I'd probably miss a few plays as a result, but I never passed up the opportunity to talk with Coach Ambrosio. Ambrosio was also very focused on his family. He took a year off from coaching Colony in 2008 so he could watch his son Mark play football for crosstown rival Shaker. It seemed like an easy decision for Ambrosio, and I think he enjoyed watching the games from the stands. And coincidentally, Mark Ambrosio is now a football coach at Shaker. Frank DeMasi was one of the most knowledgeable and respected cross-country and track coaches in Section 2. He split his career between Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons in Schenectady and Duanesburg, where he coached numerous runners that went on to compete at the state level and in college. Just this past fall, one of his Duanesburg runners, Andrew Drescher, placed second at the Section 2 Cross Country Championships and earned a berth to the state meet, where he placed 40th out of 118 runners in the Class D race. By all accounts, DeMasi's knowledge of Section 2 running records bordered on encyclopedic. Several people I communicated with told me that DeMasi could remember the year, the event, and the runner from any Section 2 meet he coached in. They also remarked about how well he worked with his runners and how humble he was about his team's accomplishments. Beyond what they did as coaches, Mike Ambrosio and Frank DeMasi were both family men. They'll be greatly missed by those who knew and loved them, as well as the greater Section 2 community. May they rest in peace. I traveled to the ZG Slam North-South Classic at the Washington Avenue Armory last weekend for the first two games of the two-day boys basketball showcase. The first day was cut short by three games, as Governor Cuomo had ordered that all interstates around our region were to be closed to bus and truck traffic after 3 p.m. that day due to the snowstorm that hit. Organizers did the best they could to juggle the schedule, and they were able to get four games in, including the battle between Albany Academy and Green Tech. The first game of the day wasn't much of a contest, as Chalmette steadily pulled away for a 63-40 victory over Colonial Council rival Cobleskill Richmondville. The highlight was watching Chalmette junior forward Shane O'Dell drive relentlessly through Cobleskill's defense on his way to a 25-point afternoon. Now that's a rather pedestrian total for someone who has scored 30 or more points in a game 10 times this season, but it was still a fun show to watch. Odell even demonstrated his range by hitting a three-pointer in the third quarter. If you haven't seen Shane Odell play this season, I highly recommend that you do. The second game of the day was the real highlight, as McKeel Christian Academy edged Watervliet 61-60 in a battle of Class B powers. McKeel looked like it was going to run away and hide from Watervliet after they jumped out to a 13-0 lead in the first quarter. But to Watervliet's credit, the Cannoneers came back with a major run of their own to carry a 30-26 advantage into halftime. The rest of the game was as tightly contested as you would expect, but McKeel pulled out the victory. A lot of people expected McKeel to have a down year after graduating some key players from last year's team, which won the Section 2 and State Class B titles. And yes, the Lions did take a couple of early losses against Green Tech and Columbia this season, but they have now rattled off 7 wins in a row, including the win over Watervliet and a victory in a rematch against Green Tech a couple of games earlier. Younger players such as junior Ozzie DeJesus and sophomore Alex Barnhill have stepped up to become McKeel's go-to scorers, and the team in general is playing with more confidence. Right now, I'd give McKeel a good chance to get at least to the sectional semifinals this season, if not the finals and possibly beyond. It's a very, very talented group of Class B teams that we have in Section 2 this year, and it could be anybody winning it amongst McKeel, Chalmont, Watervliet, any one of those teams right there. And who knows, maybe a fourth contender too. The ZG Slam North-South Classic Boys Basketball Showcase continues Sunday at the Cool Insuring Arena in Glens Falls with several interesting matchups, not the least of which is a showdown between the state's top two ranked Class A squads, Park School out of Buffalo and Albany Academy out of Section 2. Other contests include Green Tech facing off against Shenandoah in a Class AA battle, 4th-ranked Hoosick Falls against top-ranked Lake George in a Class C showdown, and hometown hero Joseph Girard III and his Glens Falls Indians taking on Amsterdam in a Foothills Council contest. Just a side note, how does JG3, the state's all-time leading scorer by a country mile and a top recruit for Syracuse University, get left off the McDonald's All-America team? I'm just wondering how that happened. Not going to get into the politics of it. I'm sure all the players who were selected are the best in the country and deserving of the honor. Still, I have to wonder how JG3 didn't make the cut. With that said, it's time to take a break. I'll be back with more of this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, after these messages. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. I'm still Rob Jonas, as far as I can tell. Christian Brothers Academy hockey has quietly turned around its season after taking some lumps in December and early January. Nowhere has this turnaround been more evident than in the Brothers' 7-3 victory over Burnhills Boston Spa back on Monday, January 21st. Hunter Pembrick scored 4 goals and assisted on another to help CBA avenge an earlier 3-1 loss to Burnhills Boston Spa and raise the team's record to 6-4 in the Capital District High School Hockey League. The Brothers are now on a 3-game winning streak going into Friday night's game at league-leading Bethlehem. Amongst their wins during this 3-game winning streak, besides Burnhills Boston Spa, was a 5-2 victory over Albany Academy. So CBA has gotten a couple of quality wins now under its belt. We'll have to see whether or not they can carry that momentum going through the rest of the regular season. Switching gears to wrestling, Watervliet locked up the Colonial Council title with a come-from-behind 40-38 victory over Ravenna Thursday night. The Cannoneers won their last 3 belts on a majority decision and 2 pins to pull off the victory, with Owen Lyons putting the exclamation point on the match with a first period pin for Watervliet at 182 pounds. So congratulations to Watervliet on winning the Colonial Council title. Of course, many eyes will be turning towards Syracuse for Saturday's State Dual Meet Championships. Shenandoah is representing Section 2 in the Large School Division, while Warrensburg competes in the Small School Division. Each team will compete in a pool play first, with the top team in each pool advancing to the semifinals. There are three teams in each pool, and there are four pools in each division, so do the math. Now, Shen, they're in a tight, tough pool with Section 5 Power Hilton and Section 4's Horseheads. Hilton is considered to be the favorite here, but Shen has several talented wrestlers, even without Kiernan Shanahan, who is out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. Lightweight Steve-O Poulin leads the way for the Plainsmen at 106 pounds. Warrensburg is in a competitive pool with Saranac from Section 7 and Falconer, a wildcard entry from Section 6. As you recall, the Burgers pulled out a 7-point victory over Hadley Luzerne Lake George to get to Syracuse, and I expect them to be competitive in this group. Of the two teams representing Section 2 at the State Dual Meet Tournament, I think Warrensburg has the better chance to advance to the semifinals, but we'll see. You never can tell. A couple of interesting Western Athletic Conference girls basketball matchups are taking place Friday night. McKeel Christian Academy, which is undefeated in league play, visits Swainsburg, which is 7-2 in the WAC. And then Fonda Fultonville, which is trailing McKeel by a half game in the large school division standings, travels into the Hilltowns to play small school division leader Bernox Westerlo. Fonda already has an unleague victory over BKW from the beginning of the season, but we will see what will happen in this rematch. In the Suburban Council, Albany is going to play its first game since suffering its first loss of the season when it faces defending Class AA champion Colony Friday night. Shen knocked Albany from the ranks of the unbeaten with an impressive 73-51 win last week. So, I know I've said it before about how interesting things will be, but it will be interesting to see how the Falcons respond against another quality program in Colony. By the way, Shen currently has a half-game lead on Saratoga Springs in the race for the Suburban Council Blue Division title, and as fate would have it, they'll have a showdown on Tuesday, January 29th against the Blue Streaks at home in Clifton Park. Now, this being Suburban Council basketball, when the girls are playing one location, the boys will be playing in another, which means Saratoga, which is currently in second place in the Blue Division, will be taking on Shenandoah in a boys' basketball game that night. So, there are going to be a couple of really big Suburban Council basketball games taking place in Saratoga County on Tuesday. So, try to get to one, try to get to both if you can. Should be very entertaining. That's it for this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. This was an abbreviated episode, but then again, it was an abbreviated week of action due to the snowstorm, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and exams week around Section 2. We should have a lot more to talk about next week as we hit the home stretch of the winter sports season. Until then, I'm Rob Jonas from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com signing off. See you next week.